Welcome to the Worst Pre-Made Ever podcast. How's it all going? My name is Jake. I'm here with the regular people. I was going to say, what are you guys? Colleagues? Friends?
Definitely your friends. Friends is far too far.
That implies that we like him.
Acquaintances.
Oh, okay, yeah, nice. Well, acquaintances is a bit... Okay, no, acquaintances works.
Bit of a step back for us, isn't it?
Yeah. That's true. Well, my wife
has become my acquaintance.
That's true, yeah.
You're legally bound to me, acquaintance!
I'm here with my acquaintance that I live with and have a relationship with, Gabby!
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And then we've also got my other acquaintance, Kath.
Hi!
Hello! And then... my other acquaintance, Ellis.
Hello.
And my colleague, Alex.
Why did you say colleague to me?
Singled out.
Why is Alex special?
Just to make me feel horrible. Yeah, exactly. Welcome, everyone, to the podcast. Just a bit of housekeeping before we begin. If you're listening to this on all major podcasting platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, all the other ones, you can watch a video version of this on YouTube. Just search for Worst Pre-Made Ever Podcast on YouTube.
Also, if you're listening to us on something like Spotify, but you also have an Apple Podcast account, you should just go follow us on there anyway, so then we just get the extra numbers going.
Makes us look better.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us.
And give us some 5-star ratings as well, if you can.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on TripAdvisor. No, sorry, don't follow us on TripAdvisor. Give us some 5-star ratings. Don't worry. Follow us on whatever podcasting platform you listen to.
You can give us a 5-star rating on Trustpilot. That would
be great. Subscribe on the YouTube channel.
And then review us on Facebook Marketplace. Then,
yeah.
This is the longest ad in the world.
It's not an ad, it's supposed to be an intro.
5 minutes.
Right. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. What are we going to be talking about this week, then?
I don't know. Don't put us on the spot like that.
I know, usually we just go in
what
and talk
segue.
About...
What a segue.
I know,
well,
usually
I mean,
just go
I mean,
talk about
Zelda released, and it's broken records, if that helps.
What, oh, yeah.
10 mil sold in 3 days.
Wow.
And bear in mind, it's only on one platform, so that's pretty bananas.
Well, so it was really funny, actually, before the podcast, I was just checking if Gabby's okay, like, just before we started the podcast and stuff, went over to give her a kiss, and then, like, she then says, like, oh, you smell like a cafeteria.
Lush. What do you eat for lunch?
What does that even mean? Like, because a cafeteria is like... Explain yourself.
Smell like a dinner lady.
Look, yeah.
If anyone has ever been in a cafeteria before, they know the smell that I'm talking about. Groups
like
of people...
Old chip fat.
Yep. But it depends on
the cafeteria, sure.
No. I'm talking about, like, your standard school or food hall cafeteria. Groups of people... all hanging out together, sweat, food fat, just food that's been lying around for a good couple of hours. You know what I mean? So it's all like that kind of steam that's like gathered on the windows.
That hint of raw onion that is in every single one. Whether they serve onions or not, there's always raw onion smell.
Always in there. Always. It was just that. It was a visceral, like, do you ever smell something and you just get transported back to another time and dimension? That is what it was like. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just insult you.
It's okay.
But it was such a, like, I've been hit by a wall.
Nostalgic cafeteria smell.
Yeah, evidently, I think it's just because of the heat at the moment.
Yeah, that should be my my musk, shouldn't it? Like,
the cafeteria.
Café junk.
Café junk.
The smell of
by Dior.
Yeah.
The smell of regret.
By whoopee. Do you ever have any, like, dinner ladies in your school cafeterias that you're fond of?
You know what? I used to have one who was so f***ing tiny. Like, she could barely see over the counter to serve the food. And her name was Dawn. And it got to the point where she actually knew everyone's orders. Because where we were in sixth form, we had our own little cafeteria in our break room. So she was only serving like probably about 60 kids.
She got to know everyone?
She'd know all of our orders. She'd be like, you having cheese, chips and beans today, love?
Shout outs to Dawn.
I'm going to have a sandwich. She'd be like, bach da nai.
Diane.
Dawn is too good for this world.
I know. She was banging.
That is not okay. You know how, like, there's so many horrible things happening, and then you have people like Dawn who, like,
just serving chips.
Memorized.
Just wanting to check if you wanted your chips, cheese, and beans today, or if you wanted chicken curry, or just, you know.
You're going to make me cry.
She was lush.
Shout outs to Dawn. Do you guys keep in touch or?
No.
Do you know if she's still alive?
She probably isn't even still there now. I think she was in her 50s at the time then.
Oh, right. Well,
Dawn,
when
I was like 17, 18. I will
Dawn in memoriam.
Look, I have such a soft spot for old people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just can't handle it. Like, if I see an old couple holding hands who look like they're hours away from death, I will burst into tears. I will burst into
tears. Do you go into many hospitals, Gabby, and just see people just holding hands on life support or something? Like.
Seriously, I just, oh, yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't emotionally regulate myself with it because I'm like, it's so sweet. And you know, because of the generational gap, they probably have some really bad views about shit. But yeah. I just pretend that's not real and like it for the fact that there's an old couple in love.
Yeah.
Just take it for what it is.
In your brain, and they're like, oh, they met it when it was war times, and they've been together ever since.
And he wrote her letters, and they had a lovely, humble marriage.
In reality, it's his eighth wife. She's in her 20s.
He sold all of his shoes. He could buy me the engagement ring. Oh,
honestly.
I'm just gonna slap down on that thing and just let you know that there's no possible way that anyone writing love letters in World War II would so unlikely to be alive. It's not even funny.
Really?
They'd have to be
like, well, if they got together when they were like 15,
90 something. Now.
Yeah. That's why it's so rare and treasured, Dennis.
I think my grandpa was born in 1939.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mine was 33.
Most of ours will be in the 30s. Will be 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandma was a pre-World War II baby, so she actually lived through it.
Oh, really? Wow.
And my grandparents, who did die, they all served in one way. But two of them served.
Both
in the RAF. Yeah.
Two of my grandparents served. One was RAF, one was... It was a great uncle served as well, who was killed.
Oh.
Wow.
He was fishing and he was torpedoed. No.
He was, sorry?
Yes, and he was fishing and he got torpedoed. No. No, I don't.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know how he died.
I almost spat
my
granddad
was a Lancaster bomber or something.
Oh, no, my granddad was a mechanic for a bomber.
I just find it so interesting, stuff like that, because so many people have family who were part of it, or the stories are still very closely remembered now because of, you know, it actually not being that long ago. And so, like, I went looking because I was like, oh, I wonder what parts of my family, like, what they were doing in the war, like, you know, what was going on. And turns out my great-grandfather could not participate because he was a bus driver. He was a necessary employee.
Did he drive the battle bus?
They used them for dropping off troops.
Yeah.
And things like that in country to move logistics.
So he was just
literally essential.
Rootin' tootin' his way around Glasgow in a bus.
So bus drivers weren't banned from joining. You could volunteer to join up, but they were never conscripted.
Right, okay.
So you had a choice. You could join up, but a lot of people didn't because their jobs were protected for a reason, because they were just as essential as being a soldier. Like, if you can't, you know, if the train system breaks, or, you know, all the train drivers fuck off to go to war, or, you know,
strike.
All of your guys who work in the docks, for example.
Yeah.
And you lose like an entire dock worker's worth of people.
Yeah.
You've got to retrain everyone up to be good enough to keep up, you know, supplies and whatnot being unloaded and all that sort of thing. It's been a nightmare.
So do you think our job would be?
No.
I doubt it.
Well, it could be. If we turn to, you know, bolstering spirits, propaganda, all that sort of thing, then yes.
We could do wartime propaganda.
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, what propaganda would you push if you, I don't know.
Who fancies killing a German? Off we go, lads!
Yeah, it kind of depends on, you know, the old war. If it was a justifiable thing, then sure, I'd parrot a bit of propaganda, but...
I'd go for pro-dog propaganda.
Pro-dog, okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not entirely sure
Are you sad? Doggy will help raise your spirits.
Pro-dogging?
No! Alex, you're so fucking predictable that before I said that, I was like, Alex is going to make a dogging joke. I said it up for you. I knew you were going to come in with a punchline.
And yet you still laugh.
I have to, otherwise I'd cry.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to get in touch with us with anything funny to read out, then you can do just get in touch with us on our Reddit. It's r/worstpremadeever. Send us some stuff in.
I thought we were doing that at the end of the podcast.
This is the end. We're done. Nice,
it would be a nice segue into looking at some funny news stories.
But we can't do it now.
Yeah, we can. Why not?
Because
we do actually have a Reddit, a podcast flare on Reddit.
Yes.
So if you're typing in there and you want it to be related to the podcast, just select that flare.
When that goes up, I think, and we actually start picking out some stories to talk about, I think people are going to have a better idea of what we're kind of looking for. So I think, yeah.
Should we start off with some?
Since we're in the history, sort of a bit of the history already, I think we can dive into the third one that's in there, which is the Dutch dude who's probably trying to become Genghis Khan.
Well,
you know, like, what is it like?
Pillaging
3% isn't like 3% of the world's population or something has in some way, shape, or form has like Genghis Khan's genes or some. I don't know if it's true or not. Citation needed.
I think it's like 1 in 200 people.
Yeah, but it's like a large proportion because they weren't the nicest people in the world. Let's be honest. But so a Dutch dude has been basically going round the world donating his sperm to sperm banks all over the place.
Oh,
and there's a limit on the amount you're allowed to give out into sperm banks for the obvious reason that, you know, the more you do it,
more often it can be used. Milliliters? What are we talking about?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go into the article and have a look. Hopefully,
it's a 41-year-old Dutchman is currently facing a lawsuit that aims to forbid him from donating sperm after he allegedly fathered at least 550 kids.
Yeah. Okay, so he donated to 13 clinics.
Mostly
that's not that
Netherlands.
Many.
Yeah,
like...
yeah, Jake, he did that in an hour.
Jesus, but he's also Christ, been to. Right, fair play.
Bear in mind that they know that at least 13 clinics that they know of. It's also apparently possibly donated in Ukraine, Denmark, and other places.
That's just in the Netherlands, apparently.
Yeah, that's just in the Netherlands alone.
But just go back to Genghis Khan. 16 million descendants.
There we go. Yeah,
I knew it was that translates to that 0.5% of the male population in the world.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a lot.
So, according to this article. One professional tracking the guy's movements has told the New York Times in 2021 that he had found mothers of his children in Australia, Italy, Serbia, Germany, Poland, Hungary, Switzerland, Romania, Sweden, Mexico, and the US.
Imagine being one of those kids when they're older and you hook up with someone and, you know, you have the fun. You just get into this discussion about your childhood, and you both find out you were like sperm.
That's the reason why you did that.
And then it's just like, oh, they find out that they have the same dad.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that's the reason.
And
why
then they go in for seconds. What?
Hold off.
Oh, we've done it now. Oh no.
Second episode. Cancelled.
You are nasty.
You're a nasty
so
man, Alex.
That.
I think you just killed my husband.
Oh God.
Look at him sitting there with his
little
smug little
on his face.
He's
like, oh, I got a laugh.
Oh, that's good.
My nose really annoys me.
Oh, I think because I think in Iceland they have to, for that exact reason, they have an actual app that like will tell you if you're like on Tinder or whatever, then you meet up with each other. You have to.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Excuse you. You have to like just double check you're not related because the gene pool there is like so.
Where's that? Sorry.
Small.
Iceland.
Oh really?
That's the same for Swansea, isn't it?
Yeah. No, they don't check.
Yeah, they don't check.
They don't check.
They just don't check.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, we've got a similar place in Kent because I'm in Kent, I think. In Kent, where
extra doubt.
No,
Mickey
where
lies.
Obviously the running joke around Kent is that it is the inbred capital of the world. It is Isle of Sheppey.
Oh yes.
Because everyone there has webbed feet and fingers.
Yeah, I've heard about that. It's obviously not true. If you're from there, you've probably heard these things before. So,
if you're from there, don't sue us. Yeah, I should. We we should say, like, because we Sponsy does get a lot of bashing from us, but like, it's not like we have a genuine issue with it at all.
It's pretty fucking grim.
Calm down the people from Swansea.
It's not. It's like Coventry. It's on the same level as Coventry. It's just not a pleasant place.
A lot of it got bombed. Yeah. During the various wars and such, because of Port Talbot being nearby. It had a lot of industry as well. It had a lot of industry down there. So
bear in mind, we're not saying the people are bad. We're saying the town, the actual place, is not. It's like, you know, you go through some villages in England or Wales.
It
and
does
like,
have
God.
One of the only Denny's in the UK, though.
That's weird. Why is it in Swansea?
I know.
My friend and I took a road trip there the other week. Their chicken tendies are banging.
Oh,
that's
there you
wild
go.
Because I have memories of Denny's from when I lived in Auckland, and that was not good. That was like...
Okay. Sorry, I just Googled Denny's to click on their website, and it says, sorry, you have been blocked.
What did I do? What? Do they know you from the whole WP thing? And they've
preemptively
blocked you from entering Denny's.
Oh, wait, no, I can click.
Oh, I've been blocked as well.
No, click on one of the options under locations. That seems to work. Apparently, clicking the main homepage.
It's because the main homepage tries to take you to the American one, which we're not allowed to go to.
Yeah, if you go to Denny's UK, that works fine.
Well, what the bloody hell's going on in the American one then? Is it like a party thing? It's like, sorry, mate, can't come in.
It's not one of the Denny's in the UK.
It's the only.
It's the only.
Why
Denny's
the fuck put it in Swansea?
You think it would maybe be in like London, because then it would be like some weird kind of tourist attraction.
Really? If it's the only one in the UK, why do they have a fucking website? Like, wait, how are you meant to order? Collection! Oh yeah, I'll just drive to fucking Swansea and back for a fucking...
Oh, hang on, there's a specific Facebook page for Denny's in Swansea. Yeah.
In other news, the Metro UK reported that a hotel guest woke up with the manager sucking their toes.
Yeah.
What's a segue? I mean, to be honest... I'm looking at the picture of the manager. I can see it.
Yeah, I just...
He looks like a panty sniffer. Oh, my God. So, apparently, it was a dude from Texas staying overnight in the Hilton Downtown Nashville Hotel for a work conference. His night's sleep was allegedly interrupted at 5 a.m. when hotel employee David Neal, 52, let himself into Mr. Brennan's room. What? He had cloned a key card to let himself in.
Oh,
and when Mr. Brennan woke up, he found his toes were in Neal's mouth.
No!
That is unhinged!
I want to know why.
I can imagine if you were the person on the receiving end of that. Genuinely traumatizing.
Yeah!
You would never trust staying in a hotel again. And it's so obscure, like, the chances of that happening to you.
Oh, yeah, nil, yeah.
And yet, that's something that happens in your life?
Oh, so it was in the Hilton as well. That's...
Thanks, Google Chrome. As I'm looking at this article, I just get OAP tasered by cop dies. Like, I don't care. Why are you sending me random fucking news?
I want to look at the guy licking toes.
I want a toe licker.
I don't want depressing news.
Apparently, he claimed that he entered the room because he could smell smoke.
And it was smoke coming from his toes, and he just had to suck the smoke out.
Like, yeah, got to put the fire out.
So he was charged for aggravated burglary and assault.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
He was reportedly the night manager of the hotel.
That makes sense.
The guy who was assaulted said, I could see he was wearing a uniform. He had his name tag on. He was talking to me, but not giving me any substantive answers when he was asking him questions like, who are you? Why are you in my room? What are you doing here?
Oh, God.
And, yeah,
my name's
just,
Andy, and I'm here to suck your toes.
You put it on your request form, didn't you?
Yeah.
You wanted breakfast in the morning and a bit of a toe suck.
This is your wake-up call.
Jesus.
Oh, sorry. That's okay, rough. You wanted toast. Sorry, my mistake.
Oh, toast. Because they're so similar.
Toes.
Oh, it's so good. That's weird. I always get like scared staying in hotel rooms. You get scared. No, I'm not like scared. Just a bit because I don't trust the door like locks it. Because when I'm at home, right? This is an insight into my life at home.
This will be fun for me.
Yeah, I'll basically double check the door like 400 times just to make sure that it's locked instead of the meanie baddies. Toe lickers come in. Stop them coming in, just double check it. And then
And then it's actually me in the middle of the night.
That's probably a story for another time. Not that one. The fact that I've got OCD about checking stuff.
Oh, but like, right.
No, we can talk about it now.
So I've basically rattled door handles.
You break doors.
I don't. I've never cracked a door before.
Like,
you've
pulled the door so hard that the wood's gone. As you've been yanking this.
When was this?
What? Just with the front door.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? The door handle got wobbly. And I had to tell you, Jake, fucking stop.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Even well, I just violently want to make sure pulling locked. The door.
Why can't you just lock the door and just, you know, pull it once? Oh, it's
because,
locked.
Because, Alex, I might not have done it and I need to remember that I've done it.
and the only way
I can remember that I've done it is to rattle the handle 400 times again.
Until it breaks.
And then I'll be like, the door's broken. It was locked.
But what happens if you do it 399 times? You're like, okay, it's locked. And then one person comes along and on that 400th time just touches it and it falls down. And that's your fault because you've rattled it so much. But the only reason they got in is because you did lock it, but then you fucked it.
Anyway, you apply this logic to hotel room doors, and you can't you can't push down on the handle in a hotel room door because it opens the fucking door.
Yeah.
If you put the bolt,
is it locked?
You can put the bolt across,
but you can
not
see
all
the bolt.
No, not all of them, but you know some do.
But from your ends, usually you can see them.
But a lot of bolts still, when you pull the handle down, it will open the door in case you need to get out in a hurry.
Yeah.
So how do you know if the door's locked?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't
chair
fucking
in front
matter.
Of it. I don't know.
It doesn't fucking matter, and I'll tell you for why. When I went to Edinburgh, right, to meet up with Jake for the first time, before Jake arrived, I had a day in that hotel room by myself.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I was like, typical, meeting up with a boy. Ooh, I'm going to get ready. Ooh. And so I was like in the bathroom, naked, shaving my legs, getting everything prepped as you should. And as I was standing there, the bathroom was right next to the front door of the room. My door just swung open and a cleaning lady just walked in.
Yeah, they
saw me bare naked.
Like, oh my God.
Arse and tits just hanging out. And I just stared at this person. And they stared back and were like,
Did you put the, in hotel rooms, did you put the little thing over the door handle? They do not disturb.
Because I just got in.
Yeah.
But also, they checked me in and it was in the evening.
Oh, what time did this happen? Like 10?
Was it
the same guy? Did he look like this?
Yeah. What?
Was he looking for
the cleaning lady?
Yes.
He was wearing a wig.
And then he just got on his knees and started sucking my toes. It was so weird.
I like how you say that like you didn't pull away or anything.
Yeah. It's like, it's happening, so you know.
I'm going to stop you in a minute.
I was just so shocked. And we just stared at each other until they just like bowed out and left. But at that point, like, I don't know, I just accepted that this was my life, you know?
Well, I mean, once it's happened, there's fuck all you can do about it, isn't it? It's like, shit.
You've seen my bits.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what do you do? I don't know. What did you do in that situation?
I went into freeze mode and I kind of just laughed. I have this really bad habit of when things are bad.
Fucking what's her face from Dinkum?
Please leave before I die.
My nips are getting cold.
Just when things are bad and I don't know what to do, I tend to just laugh because it's
laugh awkwardly.
That's
pretty standard response. I do the same.
Probably shout like, get the fuck out of my hotel room.
Well, it's like when you crashed grandpa's car.
Oh yeah.
What,
I forgot about that.
You crashed grandpa's car?
Yeah, in New Zealand.
Did you? I didn't hear that.
A crash is like an exaggeration.
Crash sounds like it wasn't your fault. You're right.
Well, no, hang on. It wasn't a crash. It was a slight altercation, okay? And to give context to it, we've just seen the film called The Whale. So it's a very emotional film. We'd all been like a bit
traumatized
by this. Yeah, that's the word. Traumatized by this amazing performance by Brendan Fraser. We were the only people in the cinema as well, just to give more context to it. So it was a very intimate viewing experience. If you guys haven't seen it, would recommend. It's
on my IMDb list.
Make sure you're in a good mood when you see it, because if you see it when you're in a depressed mood, it will only make things worse.
I've heard it's pretty soul destroying, isn't it?
Yes, but it's really good. Anyway, so then, yeah, basically wasn't there. Got in the car because then we were about to go, like, hang out with some friends afterwards. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, like, are you okay? So we're just checking if each other's all right. Meanwhile, I'm, like, reversing the car out of the parking space. And I could just completely forgot that I parked right next to a massive pillar. So then the car, like, reversed outwards. I then, like, basically just
turned
Away into the pillar and just completely crushed
it was a crush.
Fucked the door. Yeah.
It was a crush. It was almost like, you know, if you get a bit of tin foil and you just smoosh it in your hand. That is how soft this car was, as it like slowly and gently turned into the side of a pillar, and I felt it go and just crumple. Like,
oh no.
So I did something pretty similar, sort of, with when we first moved here.
Oh yeah.
So I had my old Legacy at the time. The sort of drive is it's the worst drive anyone has ever come up with. So it's on a slope, and there's two pillars either side.
Oh,
but
yeah,
they
had
the person beforehand had put a gate on it, but they'd hinged the gate on the inside.
Right.
So the gate hinges were sticking out into the area where the car drives through.
Oh my god.
And bear in mind, you have to turn on a corner to get into the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
So you're turning past two hinges.
Yeah.
So of course, at some point, I fucked up, as I was getting used to it, misjudged it, bottom front right-hand side, all along the hinge.
It's such a
scrape the
story
fuck
sound.
Out of the paintwork. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. So,
I did something
in the end,
years ago.
I got really pissed off, and now the gates have been yeeted into the void, so they're gone, because we don't need them.
We gave them to the scrappy, we were like, yeah, take them.
Yeah. And then I was like, right, I want to get this fixed, but I don't want to have to take the bumper off the car, because at the time that, of course, this happens just before Kath has her fucking foot surgery, doesn't it?
Oh,
I know she's going for surgery, so I can't take the bumper off the car and get it sent off to be sorted, because I'll need the car to move about because Kath won't be able to walk.
Yeah.
So I call in the paint correction people. Amazing job. They just drive it with a Ford Transit. They grab the paint code from the car and they respray it all for you then and there on your drive.
Oh,
it was
awesome.
Absolutely fucking pristine. Expensive as fuck. So the patch was probably, I don't know, 25 by 25 centimeters. So not huge. And it cost like 400 quid to get it done.
But it was just paint. It wasn't as if it was like the actual panels.
Yeah, there was no dent. It was just paintwork.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, so I got it fixed up. And I shit you not, next week was the week when I drove down to yours.
Oh no. And then
was going down a country lane down the side, fucking saw a deer run in front of the car quite a way down.
Oh,
I was
dear.
Like, oh, deer. And I looked at in the corner of my headlights, I saw this pair of beady glowing eyes from the hedgerow. I was like, oh, you better fucking not. You better not. I'm doing 60 here. You better not. And of course, started slowing down. And of course, starts running across. So slam on the brakes. Hit the deer. Somehow the little bastard survives and runs off into the bush. And I'm like, oh, that was lucky. And then, boom, from behind, jolted forward. I was literally, I remember turning off the engine, putting the hazards on, and just going, fuck!
And yeah, at least you were fine, though.
Yeah, some dickhead with an old Vauxhall Astra rear-ended me and then wrote the fucking car off.
Oh, man.
So I just spent 400 quid.
Oh, that's so
strange. That little bit of paintwork fix. So my nice, pristine Japanese import sports car was all nice, and then, bonk! And, yeah.
Oh. Absolutely decimated.
Oh, it's so,
so
bad.
Frustrating.
I had a pheasant one.
Yeah? Oh, yeah? How was that?
I just kind of hit it, and I just saw it go fucking spinning off.
With your car,
what,
or
like
did you just
baby?
Go?
Oh, I went up to it with a bat.
Just go fucking kick it out of the arse.
Let it rip.
Yeah, no. So my car.
My brother drives like a complete twat,
lunatic.
But he lives in the middle of the countryside and he's hit quite a lot of stuff.
People who
but
live in the countryside.
Particularly, he hit a big pheasant whilst absolutely bombing it.
People who live in the countryside are a different breed of driver.
They do tend to drive like maniacs.
Yeah.
It is different. I remember when we did that road trip around Scotland, and there was four of us in the car, and I remember just driving along the road, and you spotted the pheasant, Jake, as you were going down, because it was one of those long
stretches
of
road.
They were going down the road. Because, you know, like in Scotland, they have those like giant long stretches. Like, kind
of like, yeah.
When you're in the mountains, you can just see ahead of you. And there was this pheasant and it was not moving. It was just like, staring at us like,
oh, I'm all good.
What's that one?
Might go for a nice walk later. Yeah. Just take my time crossing this road.
And I remember you just like holding onto the wheel and saying,
buckle up,
guys. Yeah, you were just like, guys, we're going to hit a pheasant. Get ready. And everyone was like, oh, and then it was just, badong, badong. Yeah.
How far away was it when you saw it? Because it sounds like in this story, you could have stopped. But instead, you decided, fuck this pheasant.
Fuck this pheasant in particular.
It was because of the speed.
If I was to stop, the guy up behind me would have gone in. And if I was to also slow down, it wouldn't have been enough to kill it outright. And it would be, I'd have to get out of the car and fucking just like stomp on it or something.
Yeah, so I had the choice of not slowing down. But when it's a deer, you've got to be a lot more careful. Obviously, much bigger, much stronger animal. If that comes through the windscreen, that could kill me.
Oh, it's like,
so I was like,
Canada,
I have to slow down for this. But if it was like a small pheasant or something, that thing would be fucking cheese grated through my front.
I see any form of animal, even a fucking bird that I know is going to fly away, I'll slow down. I don't care if I get hit in the rear. I'd rather get hit in the rear and fuck my car than kill something.
Yeah, but you're not fucking your car. You're also possibly hurting the person.
I couldn't give a shit. They're at fault.
It's true.
Lights have changed.
Yeah, your lights changed again.
I was going to say, it's gone pink again.
Yeah. But yeah, so when my brother hit that pheasant, he slivered it because he had a metal grill on the front of his Mondeo.
Oh my God.
And there was about a 3 or 4 centimeter gap between the grill and the bonnet as part of the natural thing. And then each part of the grill was metal and basically acted like a guillotine, or like, you know, like when you do like a potato cutter where you push it together and it cuts all the potatoes. So the pheasant just went and basically got
He was saying that he opened his bonnet afterwards, and there was just bits of cooked pheasant
fillets of cooked pheasant on his engine bay where it had been like
cooked,
eviscerated, and cooked on the on the manifold.
Here's a question, right? Would you eat roadkill?
No.
If I needed to, yes, but not out of choice. And also, you can't kill it yourself. You can only pick it up
if someone else has killed it.
So say we were driving together, you hit something, and then I slowed down and picked it up. That's fine. Mm. If you hit it, slowed down and picked it up, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Oh, guys, look, I hit these chicken nuggets in the road.
The only reason I'm asking.
I think if I could see it, because I know how long it's been there for.
Mm. I get that. The reason that I said no is because I don't know, that meat isn't regulated. I don't know what that animal's been eating. I don't know what viruses that animal has had. All that kind of shit. You know, I don't know what the fuck is going on with that animal. And so I just probably wouldn't touch it because I do not know how that will fuck with my body. Mm. But the ethical side of things, I don't see any issue with eating roadkill. It's more just look, even regulated meat causes fucked up shit. I mean, look at mad cow disease.
Yeah, it's true.
There's no need. There'd be no need to eat it. Normally. But if you were like stuck in the middle of buttfuck nowhere,
but you have a car and gasoline.
Well, no, because like that's what I'm saying. So like, say you were just walking near a road and you saw something hit a car, hit an animal or something.
Right.
And you were
I've seen one, Nick, but I've just opened it up. What's up?
Nick's just put a WikiHow article in the podcast.
There's one picture in there.
And then there's this picture of this woman looking like really sad because it's.
No, I'm looking
right,
at the I'm
sorry,
he's
sorry.
Holding
I want to stop. I want to stop you all right here.
Okay.
Go to number 9.
Look at what's on number 9?
I know.
Just read it.
Fucking weird.
Oh, WikiHow.
What? Okay, all right, hang on a second. Let's just go through the steps, right? Number 1 is overcome your squeamishness, okay?
Yeah.
Number 2 is investigate the possibilities.
Yeah.
What is that? That's very ambiguous.
Yeah, I know, right?
Number 3, which animals are probably the most suitable?
Look at that guy's face.
Number 4, which is true, is what Alice is saying. Number 5, learn the signs of healthy roadkill. Very important. Mm-hmm.
So
number 6, avoid...
Sorry, this picture, though. Is that squirrel dead or alive? Because he's about to rip it apart.
Yeah. You raise me.
Well, it's either that or he's about to crucify it.
It's basically what's that got to do with rabies?
Number 6 is avoid getting rabies. And it's got a picture of a person basically like
crucifying a squirrel by the arms.
This, yeah. I love WikiHow articles, they're great. Number seven, butcher the carcass. Fair enough. Just butcher as you would do.
It looks like a little boy doing it though.
It looks like a volcano that he had as a science experiment.
He looks like he's skinning someone's leg.
Number eight, cook the meat thoroughly, fair enough. Number nine, bless your roadkill.
You'd never know. This was probably written by an American, would you?
I just need to ask about number eight with that picture. What the fuck is he cooking?
I have no
idea. It looks like it might be like a mince for a lasagna.
Right, yeah. Okay. It looks like he's making candy floss.
Like a bolognese or something.
Look how big that bowl is.
Oh my god, it's a very big bowl.
Yeah, if that's a vector cooker. If that's just like the stovetop that should have four different hob bits on it, he's
fucking
got
big pan.
All of them turned on.
Because
that pan covers the whole thing.
I know.
So,
The community QA.
I was
going to
say, the community QA. Look at the top one.
I know.
Okay.
Can I sacrifice my roadkill? The response? You can, but it will not technically be a sacrifice as the roadkill is already dead.
Fucking WikiHow.
When I skinned and gutted my roadkill deer, the meat had a blue tinge to it. Is it safe to eat?
No, I would not recommend any meat that has a blue tinge to it.
That's normal, Alex. Yes, it is. It's perfectly normal.
I think we should, every episode, we'll go through a WikiHow article.
Oh, I'm so game for that.
So if you look at the tips underneath the Q&A, burning the sage while preparing the carcass is a sign of respect and helps purify the kill.
What?
Is this like if we were all like, I don't know, from the like 10th century or something?
We're all like some like pagan ritual stuff.
Check for young and pouches are hanging around. They may need rescuing and nurturing. Baby joeys are often found in the pouches of hit marsupial.
Oh yeah, that like, well-known marsupial a deer.
Oh god, it's pretty brutal, but like. You know,
it happens.
And then they've also got do not consume a domestic animal. So you're just going to hit your neighbor's cat and eat it.
Oh, delicious.
Ooh, that chihuahua was tasty.
I think the idea behind roadkill is and eating it is an interesting one because it is technically a completely carbon neutral food source, which is good for the environment, but it does obviously pose its risks.
Could you imagine actually eating it?
But I think, but you know, if you take the approach of like, well, look, the animal's good enough to be alive and running around, it's probably fine because the...
Yeah, and the cooking process tends to kill...
A lot of bacteria
A
and
lot
stuff.
Of bacteria.
Mm. I just don't trust it.
No, completely understandable.
That's completely fair.
I would not, like, cook it normally. If I was cooking it, it would be cooked within...
Yeah.
And I just want to point out that fucking Nick's just put in block capitals. We do not recommend eating it as we're saying, oh, it's all right. He's just highlighted it and put it in bold.
That's true, yeah. We would not recommend eating this.
No, but the point being is that if you cook it within an inch of its life, it would probably be safe.
Again, citation needed, but not experts probably. In cooking or bio anything.
But either way, like, there's no need to.
Yeah.
If you have a need to, then...
Just get it from the supermarket.
Sure, but if not, just buy it from the fucking supermarket. Like, if you're going to die if you don't eat something, then sure, you're probably fine. But,
yeah.
But like, the only reason I asked that is because I saw a video by a YouTuber called Max Foss. Shout out to Max. Go check out his channel. It's very funny. And he basically made a bunch of people... he opened a roadkill restaurant for an evening and basically found a load of roadkill that day and then fed it to a bunch of like food critics. And they all were like, oh my God, it's delicious. This is really, really good. They got like a professional chef to cook it all. And then he says, drop the news to them. And they're like, oh yeah, that's fair. And a lot of them like didn't care. And
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I would assume as well that if they have a professional chef, they'd probably do like disease testing. Because obviously to make it, you know, not get sued into oblivion, because they'll disease tested the meat and everything else. So
yeah, exactly, yeah.
If you know the meat's fine and dandy, then you just hunted it, basically.
Like if it was
no
a
different.
Restaurant where it was like, cool, we have actually put things in place to make sure that this is fine and passes health checks, I would have no issue with it.
Mm. Okay, I'd be absolutely fine with it.
Yeah.
We've hunted it with a car.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much what, genuinely, it's pretty much, yeah, at the end of the day, it's kind of what it is.
Yeah. Got my car launcher ready. Yeah.
Because then, you know, at least that animal didn't die for nothing as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, if it can't be regulated, that's where my brain's like, maybe not.
It's the usual argument of like, if it's already dead, like if you can find a use for everything, then I personally think you should. Just in the same way, you know, like I don't approve of, say for example, like leather. I wouldn't approve of killing a cow for leather.
Yeah.
But if the cow has already been slaughtered for food and everything else of it is being used,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it seems stupid to me to just.
To bin, not use it.
the skin
of the animal, yeah.
And just have it rot or whatever rather than reusing it for something else. And since it's already being killed anyway for another purpose, we might as well use every single bit of it.
Yeah.
I think modern like meat production also uses like 99.9% of the carcass.
Yeah, I think it's most of it. They can reuse the bones for like flavoring, and obviously they give it for dogs and whatnot as well. And I think they can. Don't they grind them up for fertilizer?
Yeah, I was also going to say, I think they use them for gelatin.
Yes. Mm. Yeah,
so
good
all
call.
Your
yeah.
Haribo sweets?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no, they are gluten.
I think a lot of them
they're
are vegan,
now.
Are they?
I think we had them. I hadn't had any for ages, and we got some fruit pastels.
Haribo.
Yeah, fruit pastels.
Love them.
It's almost the same. They're a little bit different. They're a bit more chewy and a bit more like rubbery.
Oh, cool.
And obviously they've changed how they do like a lot of dyes and stuff like that. So for reds and stuff, they would usually, especially in cosmetics, they would usually use things like carmine, which is like a crushed up beetle, to get that red pigment. And obviously they don't do that now.
Then like you live your entire life as a beetle in the wild, you're like, oh, this is cool. Then you just get crushed up to be made into a bit of a colour.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that's
crap,
isn't it? Nowadays,
oh, I get to be a gummy bear.
Nowadays it's more expensive to go and find the beetle and crush it up and turn it into a dye than it is for them to just like chemically
pump microplastics.
Yeah, just use the exact same chemical structure and just recreate it again.
I know, imagine having to hunt. Imagine the like, oh, what's your job? I'm a beetle hunter for makeup production.
No, I'm a fucking beetle hunter, mate.
But also, guys, don't forget to bless your Haribo.
Only
if it's roadkill, Harry.
Only if it's roadkill.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. So we can't bless Haribo then?
No, only if it's roadkill.
I really like the idea of doing a review of a WikiHow article every week, because that's really funny.
I think what we should do is leave it for Nick to find us the most obscure one, so we've not seen it, and then he just hits us with it.
Yeah,
drops it in
that's
there.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Thinking about, you're talking about beetle, like beetle farmers. One of the weirdest jobs I can think of at the moment. Well, you know, pet stores, obviously they sell mealworms and stuff lizards, birds, etc. Well, that means some fucker somewhere has a mealworm factory
that
is just constantly breeding mealworms. Which means there is someone's job is just to walk around and feed those little beetles that birth mealworms, and then shovel mealworms into a box and pack them up and send them off. That is someone's actual job. Yeah. Is literally a mealworm farmer.
I think I've watched like a YouTube video on it once before. That and earthworms as well, because people get them for their gardens and stuff like that to keep the soil. Okay. So like, investing in, it's like bug farming is really
invest
important.
Invest in the worms.
Yeah.
I have worms.
Well, it is an issue because nowadays, because of the amount of pesticides and stuff that are being used, when was the last time you had a massive bug fly into your windscreen when you were driving?
Yeah, not for a while.
All of the bugs,
not as often, but
bugs are basically fucking off. Like they're dying. Yeah. And it's a massive, massive issue.
Same with the bees as well.
Oh my god, the
bees are bugs.
Not the bees.
Oh, I thought bees were all right. I thought they were
recovering. Bees are endangered.
Everything's endangered.
Because I heard they're doing all right, the bees.
It depends on the type of bee.
I don't think so. I think bees in general are pretty low.
I think also because of the change of the weather as well, what you're seeing is that certain species are going to places that they should not be going. So there's like a migration, especially at the moment, of like certain spiders that I'm finding in the house that should not be where they are.
Oh. On average, the geographic range of bees and hoverfly species declined by a quarter, equivalent to a loss of 11 species from each square kilometer.
And can I just
say, UK is one of the most nature depleted countries in the world.
I told you, Jake.
And yet there's
that is from the WWF
everywhere.
I've ranted about this a lot because I'm like, it's not to say that the UK doesn't have any wildlife, because of course it does, but it significantly compared to the places that I have lived previously or been previously, it is like very.
It's ecologically sparse. Sterile yeah. compared to a lot of other countries.
Well, it's because we hunted the shit out of everything else beforehand. You'll find that you'll find it in most countries that are old and haven't been colonized. That the populations of all most big creatures are absolutely decimated. You'll find it all over Central Europe.
Mm. Yeah,
like wild boars basically don't exist anymore. They had to reintroduce them into France and Germany because we hunted them all to.
Also, the UK had bears.
Yeah, and beavers, and we've had to reintroduce beavers because we killed them all for food and fur.
And as soon like, as things like wild wolves and stuff.
Yeah, wild wolves and wild dogs.
Critical
and
species, like, there's certain areas that rely on having that species there that balances everything out. And I can't remember what it's called. It's an indicator species. And so beavers and stuff like that, sea otters along the west coast of Canada, balances everything. It helps with like the, you know, having the kelp, fertilization with the fish, and then the animals that feed off of them. As soon as those were almost hunted to extinction there, everything
went up to
fuck. The
whole ecosystem starts falling apart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just that kind of stuff I find really interesting because there's so much that we're doing that we could do better that people don't understand as well. Like having a lawn, having grass during like summer, spring, when it's getting really big, you've got weeds in it, you've got flowers. That's fucking great for the bees.
Yeah.
Bees are like, this is the fucking tits, man.
Wild grass is perfect.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh no, we want to have a nice golf lawn with 2 millimeter high blades of grass so I can have can play crochet and have picnics on it.
Exactly. Like,
crochet.
Dude, fuck
you,
that,
do you
man.
Know anyone that plays crochet?
It's croquet.
Oh, croquet.
Yeah, but you know anyone that plays crochet?
Form of knitting.
Kath plays crochet.
Kath does play crochet.
Kath does crochet, yes. I love it.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's stupid.
If we took every single UK garden, I think we could. It was on the news recently, actually. You could. I can't remember what it said, but like you could do something with it that is good for
cool.
the
place.
Right,
good
yeah,
story.
Thanks,
housing is needed in the UK. The housing market is that there is a lot of very empty space. Where there isn't stuff being built, and instead of building there, they're building on top of stuff that's already plumb to the fucking gunnels.
Yeah.
I think it's really difficult because the UK's in a really interesting position. And because it's such an old country, there's a lot of infrastructure here that is based on, you know, hundreds of years ago that was set
up. Our railway's Victorian still.
Exactly. Yeah. And but what you're seeing is this mass amount of people compared to the size of the country. And when I look at New Zealand, for example, the whole of that country, which is bigger in landmass than the UK, is the
barren,
population of London.
Yeah.
And so you have all this space, and yet in the UK, there's almost like an overpopulation in specific areas, like down south.
South is particularly bad for it.
It's so bad for it, where there's no room. There's this balancing act of like affordable housing that no one can afford because jobs aren't paying enough to afford it. Everyone is high demand to be in London and work in London, but the reality of that is actually sometimes very cripplingly depressing, depending on where you are. My God, help having strong
and cripplingly expensive. Don't forget as well, just for like just normal things like, you know, a cup of coffee,
£20, please.
It's like it'll quite literally be £1 to £2. So what, that's like $1.70 to $2.50. Give or take, more expensive per singular item in London than it would be elsewhere. Like, even like 20 miles outside of the city district, the prices will just go boop, downwards.
London is such an interesting place to me because I recently, like, going there, having a weekend there, enjoy it. The idea of living there,
it's my idea of hell.
Like, it gives me anxiety. In a way, because I, you know, it's just the idea of space to live and breathe in and how much you're charged for that space. And actually, not even just London, talking about cities like New York. You know, I saw an article the other day being like, this is the most expensive apartment in New York for the size. And I think you were paying $1,600 American, and there was no bathroom or kitchen. It was a cupboard that had been like transformed into like a bedroom.
Was it like on Times Square or something?
I don't know.
How is that allowed?
I don't know.
America. Is there a communal bathroom?
There must be shared facilities.
There must be shared facilities.
Or do you just shit out the window?
Victoria.
There was area to hang up your clothes and in a little nook. And apart from that, it was just a room.
There's a lot of stuff like that in Japan and Tokyo and other big cities. But they're
I've seen some in London as well. I saw an advert a couple of weeks back for a place to rent in London. It was literally like a room with a toilet, like
That. Yeah.
And like, there was no wall partition or anything. The toilet was just in the middle of the room.
Oh my god!
So it was a shower
there was
as well,
a bed in
there?
One corner, a little counter in the other with a microwave on top, and a shitter.
Yeah.
It sounds like a prison cell.
No sink. Literally just a toilet, a cabinet with a microwave and a bed.
No, there was a shower as well.
Was there a shower?
Yeah. If you remember, it was like, it literally is about the size of a prison cell. At like the bottom
right-hand
corner was a single bed. To the left-hand side of that was this, like, basically a coffee / bedside table / counter with a microwave on it. On the opposite end, maybe I'd say half a meter or less from the end of the single bed was a toilet. And then to the right hand side of the toilet, there was like a little, obviously where they used to, they might have had like an old built-in wardrobe or something, there was like a little square cut out, and they put a shower curtain across there for like, and there was a basin at the bottom, and that was the shower and water, and that was it.
Just imagine going out like on a hot date with someone, right? You know, things are going well, you have glasses of wine, you know, not, things, you're hitting it off, you go back to your
house. You're a man about town.
You know, you make the love and you have a nice evening, romantic evening. And
on your single bed.
And then in the morning, she's woken up by a massive... as the dude's like taking a shit in the same room. Like, how does that work?
Is that what you do after?
Yep.
Straight after sex in the morning, you get up and go to have a shit? Just,
you know, if it's a normal morning, yeah, probably. 8:30, that's me in the toilet.
You're very regular.
I'm ridiculously
He's
regular.
He's painfully regular. If you go on holiday with him, you just know that you need to be at the hotel right about that 8:30 like mark because he's just about to shit himself.
Yeah, 8:30 and maybe 9:45.
He goes twice.
Yeah.
You have like a two-part poo.
Yeah, it's a two-part poo. My
dog shits less than you.
To be fair, I've had two-part poos. I always need a poo when I sit down to do titling. Every time I sit down to do it, I will need
like
a shit.
It's like your stomach's just like, yep, time to go.
Yeah.
Lads, I got a winner.
Oh, yeah? What's up?
Yeah.
Check Have you found
this.
It?
No, it's worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is 50 grand for 7 square meters, I might point out.
Oh, wow. My God.
50 grand.
Microwave under the bed.
So we're basically looking at a Guardian article that's been posted on in the Guardian
Where
website,
is
obviously.
The toilet?
There's what can be described as a cupboard. It's got a microwave underneath the bed. The bed's about like a meter and a half off the ground.
Yeah, it's like a bunk bed with a little like ladder, but I'm assuming that's meant to be also storage as well to get up to it.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Look at that shower room. Oh, look at that mold and that grouting. Jesus.
Where is the toilet?
Oh, okay. So if you scroll down to like the fourth picture down, there's a little doorway as you go in, and I think the toilet and bathroom's in there.
Yeah, it's just on the right. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that is depressing. How much is that? 50 grand. London's smallest micro flat up for sale at 50,000 quid.
I don't
care.
7 square meters.
I don't
Holy
care.
Shit. What? They found tenants to go in there who paid £600 a month for it.
Oh, my
You're
God.
You're fucking joking.
So that's...
Wait, did you say tenants plural?
Yeah. Well, that's what it says. It took 28 viewings to find tenants, and they paid £600 a month for it.
That is unreal.
Look, I don't care. I don't care how much you love London. It is not worth
it's
that.
Not fucking worth it.
It is not worth
Hold
that.
Hold on. Not if you're, not if you're in a place
a name
like that.
There,
no
Neil
way.
Hudson. Was he the guy who was sucking toes?
I was in America.
Yeah, I just... it's baffling. And, you know, it's not just London, though. It's New York.
It's a lot of major cities.
Hang on. The minimum price set by auctioneers is £50,000, but is expected to go for more as it was bought for £103,000 in May 2017.
Oh, so
right. 103 okay, so, grand yes. for seven square meters.
You went to our old house, right?
Yeah.
I'll give Nick a picture of the outside of our old house beforehand, because it's we're not there anymore, so it doesn't matter. I'm happy for it to be used.
Yeah,
we bought that house. So, which is for people who can't see it, it was a 2-bedroom end of terrace with
semi-detached,
with a quite large rear garden, bit of a front garden on a main road. We bought that for $105,500.
Yeah, at the same price as this. $108,500.
So basically, give or take the same price.
You can have an entire house.
We bought a 2-bedroom house with a massive kitchen and a dining room and a lounge and a huge bathroom with inbuilt storage.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. I think timing's also important for that. You know, the time of when it was purchased, the place, obviously. But, like, I know that a lot of people will probably also say, you know, it depends on where your work is. You know, if you can only find work in London or New York, for example, then people are going to go to those areas. But I guess it's just like my thinking is like, at what cost are you, you know, because you could find work, depending on what you do, of course, elsewhere, if you can. But like, I don't think you could pay me enough
to live in there,
to do that, unless I was literally a celebrity millionaire. That could
buy. And you're just saving up so you can buy like a house elsewhere or something.
Yeah, probably a normal sized house in West London. Then cool. And I spend like £30 million on it. Sweet. Okay, great. But like, we're not.
No.
Just want to quickly point out something in that article, just putting it in the general now. Just have a quick read of that.
Okay, so a TV presenter recently pissed off. They say millennials, but it's basically people who are like us.
Do you want me to read it?
Trying to get onto the
housing
market.
Yeah, this isn't what it says. This is what it says at all.
TV presenter Kirsty Alsop recently...
Yeah, I'm trying not to call people out directly.
It's on the article, it's fine. We're not calling
it's
her out.
It's
on the article.
Oh, fine, whatever.
So TV presenter Kirsty Alsop recently irked millennials by suggesting that they could afford to buy their own homes if they spent less on the gym, EasyJet flights, coffee, and Netflix. Critics have pointed out that when she bought her first flat, the average home cost £50,000 and measured 37.4 square meters.
73.
Oh, 73.4, excuse me. 10 times bigger than the Clapton flat.
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh yes. Oh, I better stop spending £200,000 to £400,000
on coffee,
gym, EasyJet flights, and I think you could probably buy every single flight from one airport every single day of the year and still not hit £250,000.
He is one of the presenters. Does the like she shows people where like big houses.
Right. Well. Okay.
I don't know who she is, but I mean, it feels so out of touch.
Oh, yeah.
Their privilege is showing.
Yeah, well, the location.
That one.
Yeah. Right. The issue is not it's getting mortgages for that amount of money. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
If people don't know, you need about, in the UK, you get about 4.5, maybe 4.75, possibly 5 times if you're like, really lucky, your annual salary for a mortgage.
Combined.
So bear in mind, if you're buying £1 million house, you need 10% of that usually as a minimum. So you need £100,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm, for a deposit.
And then you, if you're buying it yourself, or you and your partner, or whoever you're buying with, then need to have, realistically...
be earning 200k a year between you.
I'll do the quick math now.
That's about right, I think.
So it'll be 900k... And then if you need 4.5 times it, so divide by 100.
Quick math.
Times by 90.
Mortgage calculations with Ellis.
Yeah, 96.5. So you need... you need to have a salary that combined up to make up £868,500.
That's not right. Oh.
What?
No, that's the amount that... you're buying £1 million house and you need £800,000 salary.
Yeah, your 5 times combined mortgage would over the time period have to make up that amount of money.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So you need to both have, like, salaries of between you, like, 200k.
Yeah, you're looking at 200.
Unless you're a celebrity.
You people have 250k, give or take.
Or, you know, it's the 1%. Like,
but you say unless you're a celebrity, but it also depends on what kind of celebrity. you know, there are celebrities who have more money than other celebrities.
The celebrity.
I could sell feet pictures, you're right. No, it's a good business idea. Thank you, Alex.
But you can do is sell feet pictures, but just the measurement.
Okay, we've got...
They'd have a field day with my feet.
We've got a mortgage advisor, Ellis. Career advisor, Alex.
Citation needed.
No citation needed.
All citation needed for this. We're basing this off of basically random articles, but I think
the entire podcast is citation needed.
Off of weird
and it's also our own personal experience as well. It's not just random articles.
Yeah. I just couldn't, and I think like the idea of what that money goes towards and the I'd feel claustrophobic. I mean,
I wouldn't be able to deal with it.
I've been like in a small student flat. Kind of similar to that one. Do you remember that when I was staying when I first arrived in the country, Jake?
Yes. I mean, that was like at least 3 times the size of that. Like 4 times the size, maybe.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't know. It was at least 3 times.
Okay.
Bear in mind, that's a single, that's realistic, that's a king size bed plus a single bed next to it of space in that entire room.
Yeah. And you had a large single.
Yeah.
Sorry, when you said that, I was just thinking of large singles in your area.
Either way, small room, could not do it. Because you just don't feel like you can live in it. Like, have room to, I don't know,
it's like
breathe?
A cell, isn't it?
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure prison cells have more space than that flat.
Yeah.
Depends on the prison cell.
Because, like, you'd struggle to make, like, a full rotation in that room with the space that you've got, the floor space you've got there.
You look at prison cells in like Sweden. I would go to prison just to have that room. They are really nice because
they have to follow regulations.
They're all about rehabilitation. That's all they are.
And the mental health aspect.
Let's not get into this. This is not a subject we should delve down the rabbit hole of.
I'm not going to go too in depth. What I'm going to say is that kind of stuff, there are regulations in what should be in those cells, for example. There are no regulations
for flats
apart from the basics when it comes to selling flats and shit like this in London and or New York. So it's baffling that it's legal, really.
Yeah, that there are far more legislations for things like prisoners and whatnot than there are for your average home buyer or renter or something. The protections are just, they're not there.
Yeah.
You know that saying, you should be able to, like, you know that saying, swing a cat? Like, I think that should be the baseline thing. Like, if you can't swing
can
a cat,
you swing a cat?
So, no. Actually, no. Pete, I think it was
scientific measurement.
I think it was Peter who wanted all those like the phrases like that changed. So, you know, I'd say swing a cat, or it's
swing a bag of flour.
No, it was like measure. I can't
swing a Waitrose bag.
Yeah.
But not a plastic one. A biodegradable hemp one, please. Thank you.
So when you get one of the housing inspectors come round, they just pull a cat out of the bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or one of the rubber cats.
One of the ones I remember was, you know, beat a dead horse. That theirs was feed a fed horse.
Hang on, what was the original? Don't feed a dead horse.
Beat a dead horse. You know, shouldn't beat a dead horse.
Yeah, don't fuck
a dead horse.
There's no point
in
doing
it,
right?
They want to feed a fed horse.
There's no point feeding a fed horse, but the... Well, because the horse is still going to eat the food. It's still going to store it as fat, right?
Something like that.
Are we getting too in depth?
So we have a link for it, and some of them are really fucking dumb.
Really?
So you can't... No, packed in sardines? No, it's going to be packed in like pickles, because of course you can't have packed sardines. Or on a wild goose chase? No, you've got to be out chasing rainbows.
What?
Or what about if you've got ants in your pants? No, it's pepper in your pants.
I've got pepper.
You can see it. This is the way they say it when it's like harmful. Walk on eggshells. Helpful. Walk on broken glass.
Cry over spilled milk. No, cry over burnt toast.
Yeah. Cry over spilled toast.
Kill two birds with one stone. Feed two birds with one scone.
Oh god.
Where is this list?
Take the bull by the horns. Take the flower by the thorns.
What? What the fuck? Flour doesn't have thorns, neither does wheat. What the fuck's going on?
Is this like an officially released...
Yeah. This is on the pizza website.
Be a guinea pig. No, be a test tube.
Oh, that's amazing. They
hold
little...
your horses. Hold the phone. Although I do like hold the phone, to be fair.
Hold the fucking phone.
Hold the phone.
Oh, they got little graphics.
I love this one. It's meant to be for children, right? Open a can of worms and they've got open Pandora's box.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just throwing the classical Greek terminology in there. People are going to really, kids are really going to understand that one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank God.
Bring home the bacon. No, bring home the bagels. No, no one likes bagels over bacon.
I do. No, I'll bring home the bagels.
More than one ways to skin a cat. There's more than one way to peel a potato.
No, there isn't. Oh my God.
It's a saying. It's not. No one's actually like. How about
and to top it all off, put all your eggs in one basket. No, you have to put all your berries in one bowl.
Oh no!
Oh, it's so fucking stupid.
Peter, go fuck yourself.
Seriously,
no one takes any of those seriously.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Are we going to finish off with a mean comment?
Oh yeah, we're going to our mean comments section, don't we?
Can I start off with, unfortunately, another Gabby-related one? But I think it's so.
Oh, why?
It's so stupid.
Is this just turned into rag on Gabby?
No, it's a really stupid one, so you'll understand why.
Okay, go on.
If you have watched any of our stuff or listened for the past like few minutes, you'll know, you know, how we talk.
I think I know which one.
This is on the 5 million views on the channel thing. I wish Gabby would stop swearing and stop using inappropriate words all the time. I don't like her. Jake, Kath, you're the best. Love you, stay safe, keep making funny videos.
Jeez, like, Gabby.
I'm so sorry for swearing, like, because I am the only one who does that, and that is on me, and I
potty mouth
profusely apologize, my good sirs.
It's just not good enough, Gabby. You need to do better.
That was ridiculous. Also, I don't know, if you are a long-time fan, you'll probably be aware of the fact that when we do early access release videos, we always do a little preamble along the lines of, look, you don't have to subscribe. We just really appreciate it if you do, because it helps us. Some people do not read that, and were very upset by one of the early access videos that we promoted on the page. And they say, pay to watch on YouTube? I wish you the best. But that tendency, I won't support. This was the last time I clicked on your videos. Goodbye.
it's like a modern day Shakespeare, isn't it? Poetically written.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, like, I get it.
It comes up quite often still on the early access. Like, I still see the same couple of people saying it. It's like, dude, you don't have to pay. It's early access. You're not paying for anything, really.
Just wait until Thursday. That's when the video comes out and you can watch it for free.
Wait until Thursday and shut the fuck up.
We don't
put anything behind a paywall, actually.
No, we've made it our absolute mission when we started this channel not to offer any specific stuff behind a paywall.
Yeah, like, I think we did start doing some extra streams at one point, but then we stopped doing that because they just weren't working.
Yeah. And
but
then,
they all got released anyway.
They got released for free on the livestream archive. So,
Shit, they did, yep. No,
so it's we've gone out of our way not to do that and not to leverage money out of the community because it's not the way to do it. Just make good shit and give people the option. If they want to support us, then that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to. In fact, don't support us. Like, because it's, we don't want to pressure anyone into anything.
I've got a good one here.
Oh, go on.
Honestly, I usually like your playthrough of games, but this is just fucking stupid. From what I can see, you have the multiplayer mod, seamless co-op. You literally did all that dumb PvP shit on purpose, and it's so boring. I was actually kind of excited to see you guys try and play the game. There's no punctuation. But the fact that you kill each other non-stop, it faked and fucking boring. What a way to sell out. All your videos lately have, in the same way, I'm genuinely about to unsubscribe, and I've been here since almost the beginning. You really got to get back to doing you should be, because this is bullshitting your true fans. It's not funny or entertaining to watch. It's honestly just cringe. Come on, man. No wonder your subscriber count has been going down rather than up. Maybe you should really take a sit down and think about the direction you've been going.
Jesus Christ, there's
is
so
that
much.
It?
It's not.
Because it just kept going. I'm speechless. I just.
Oh my god.
It's just perfect.
But also,
and the thing is, like, he says, like, it's not like your old videos. The video format's not changed at all.
It's like,
for 4 years. You have never, ever, once done a gameplay through.
Is it because the analytics say that the subscriber count's going up?
It's like, I mean, it
very
is,
slowly,
it's,
admittedly, it's, but it is going up.
It's never gone down. We've never had a month where we've had negative subs.
No.
Like, ever.
According to this guy, we have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Also, there was a second post by someone who, you know, the original one that Ellis brought up, saying, "Hi, Jake and Kath. Can you tell Gabby to seriously stop swearing when you're playing The Sims and tell her to stop using inappropriate words all the time, please? Guys, stay safe. Keep making funny videos. Can I, Kath, in more videos, not Gabby, please, Jake? Lots of love to you."
Someone's thirsty.
Zero punctuation
but
as
also,
well, I'm guessing.
I have more of a fucking potty mouth than Gabby does.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just... Oh, I don't know.
Like, I use... God. Swearing like punctuation, like what the fuck?
Yeah, don't swear.
Oh, it's so good. So thanks for sending those mean comments in.
Yeah, well, can I get one more in before we finish?
Yeah, yeah, of course. We've got a year's worth to catch up on. It's
fine. Well, this links into what we've been talking about as well. So it's a bit of like a callback. So it's about the charity streams.
Oh,
charity stream video, but it was locked away behind a paid member wall till several days later when it hit freemium state. I don't know how a YouTube video can be freemium, but anyway, we'll get back to that.
Right.
Hope the paid membership you guys got for those days went to the Red Cross also when folks paid to watch it. Right, first of all, you didn't pay to watch it. They paid to see it a little bit early because we release every video every Thursday at the same time every week. That's the only thing they get. And I don't know what the fuck you think a freemium state is on YouTube.
It's kind of free, but like you're even if you're watching on YouTube with ads on, you're still paying Google money for your data.
Yeah, you're paying
your
time because you're viewing an ad.
At the end of the day, it's a video that is up for free. Just because we had it on early access does not magically make it a paid for video.
We can happily educate everyone if they would like. So if you do have any qualms or like,
oh, can I have a creepy
stuff?
One?
Yeah, go on.
So this was on my personal Instagram.
Okay.
Ooh,
I posted. No, it's not about me. I posted a picture of Jake pretending that he was flying off the side of a boat, because he was just apparently that's what he wanted to do that day. He was pulling out the dad jokes. It was fine.
Right.
Someone comments and goes, "Man, I love Jake. Gabby, please let me have him. He can act like a little puppy for me."
Oh, God. Well, what did I ever know about that one?
Yum, yum.
I got yum-yummed big time. Holy shit.
You can act like a little puppy for me.
Oh, God.
So there we go. I can just give you away, apparently. Apparently, I own you and I can just hand you off. So that's fine.
I'm sure Peter would have something to say on that.
Yeah, that's true. Peter would not be a fan of that comment. Thank you very much.
Because you mentioned the word puppies. All right, then. Let's end this podcast here. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening or watching. Don't forget to post stuff that we'd like to see on the Reddit, r/worst premade ever.
Just to end it, Nick, if you could flash this up on the end of the video. There was one person on Reddit who says, "Jonk looks like human Shrek from Shrek 2, I think it was. And they have a side-by-side comparison.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's great. That's amazing. That's a compliment because that guy's fucking
Nick,
built, dude. Look at that.
Look
at
that guy. That is Shrek.
Yeah, I know. Look at him. Look at that chiseled jaw.
Yeah, no,
jeez.
You haven't got any of that. I think he's mainly facially in the hair.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the hair is pretty much spot on.
Yeah, back
nice.
Then.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
But yeah, if you've got anything to send us it on the Reddit, r/worst premade ever. Thanks very much for listening and or watching. We'll be back next week with some more podcasting action.
Yep.
Until then, take care, and we'll see you then.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye, Dr. Nick.